Hello, and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Morella Hernandez, an assistant professor of management and organization in the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. On today's podcast, we talk with Batya Wiesenfeld of the Stern School of Business at New York University. We discuss a paper she recently published in the Academy of Management Journal about how self-esteem may influence the effects of fair treatment and ultimately organizational commitment. Batya, welcome to Under New Management.
Thanks. Great to be talking to you.
We're interested in learning more about your paper on self-esteem and fair treatment. How did you become interested in studying the relationship between self-esteem and fair treatment?
Well, I've been studying justice, and in particular procedural justice and fair treatment, for a long time, in part because I'm interested in organizational change, and especially downsizing. And in a downsizing context, one of the first things that people think about is how fairly they were treated. And in a downsizing context, you've got the people who were downsized, terminated, you know, the victims of a downsizing, and you also have the survivors, the people who remain with the organization. And it turns out that the survivors are very concerned with how fairly the victims were treated, as well as how fairly they were treated in the entire process. So fair treatment has been something I've been interested in for a long time. In fact, my interest in the link between self-esteem and fair treatment was largely triggered by reading some of the work by Bill Swan on self-verification theory. And I thought that it would be an interesting test of whether fair treatment was as important across the board, if everyone responded as positively to fair treatment, or if fair treatment was more important to some people than to others.
Okay, well, let's back up just a little bit. You mentioned self-verification, and you talk about self-verification versus self-enhancement in your paper. Can you describe what those concepts are and how they play into how you study fair treatment?
Yeah, so self-enhancement is the thing that we think about more commonly, so that's probably a good place to start. Self-enhancement really reflects the fact that people prefer to think better of themselves and would like to be thought well of by others. So you always want other people to like you, to think that you're a good person. That's sort of the self-enhancement effect. And the alternative to that is this notion of self-verification. And that really is built on the idea that people not only care about being viewed as a good person, they also care about being authentic, about being true to themselves. And they want to know that other people view them the way they view themselves. And normally, you know, generally, if you view yourself positively, then you want others to think of you positively. And so self-enhancement and self-verification kind of work together. But one of the most interesting things that's been found in self-verification research is that people actually, when they are forced to choose between having others think of them the way they think of themselves versus knowing that others think positively of them, they actually will choose, in the context of an ongoing relationship, they would prefer to have others think of them the way they think of themselves. They prefer to be true to themselves. And one of the most interesting findings, I think, from self-verification research is this research that compares dating couples to married couples. So dating couples are like the self-enhancement folks. They, in the context of a more short-term dating relationship,
right,
all you want is for the person that you're in a relationship with to think positively of you.
Of course.
However, in a marriage, so a more long-term relationship, actually, people who don't think positively of themselves report much greater satisfaction with the marriage, actually have a lower likelihood of getting divorced, report greater sexual satisfaction, kind of a whole host of of factors about how successful the marriage is, the marriage is more successful if your spouse thinks negatively of you, as long as you think negatively of yourself. So that is, for low self-esteem people, they are happier being married to someone who doesn't think they're very good.
Well,
which is very surprising.
If someone can see your faults and still love you despite them,
I think that is a great way of expressing it. So if someone knows who I am, knows what my faults are,
right,
and loves me anyway, they don't have to think that I'm terrific, because if they think I'm terrific, then I'm constantly feeling like I have to pretend to
right
be
mm-hmm
someone that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they know me, know my good and bad qualities, and love me anyway, then of course
important,
that's going to be a more successful marriage.
Great. Okay.
This actually has some corollaries in a justice context. One of the things that we know about fair treatment, particularly procedural fairness, is that it's symbolic. It is a way for employees to understand the way they are viewed by the organization. They are viewed as a more high status person when they're treated, or they interpret that they are higher status, respected more when they are treated more fairly.
So when we are talking about being able to treat people procedurally fairly, they're signaling higher status in the organization. So managers are essentially including people in the decision making, treating them with dignity and respect, explaining why they've made certain decisions. Is that right?
Exactly. And
okay,
by doing those things, managers are implicitly conveying to employees that they are valued, that they're highly valued people, high status people, highly respected in the organization.
So do we see different effects with high self-esteem people versus low self-esteem people?
So for a high self-esteem person, that message, that symbolic message of being high status, highly valued, is very consistent with the way they view themselves, and so is very self-enhancing and has no real negative qualities. But for low esteem people, they may feel ambivalent about being treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that fair treatment makes them think that the organization doesn't view them in an accurate way, doesn't view them the way they see themselves. And so they may feel inauthentic. It may threaten their identity and the coherence of their self-views to be treated in a way that's out of sync with their expectations.
Interesting.
And so we constructed 4 field studies and 1 lab study to try to explore whether low esteem people perhaps don't respond as positively to procedural fairness as high esteem people do. So the first 4 studies were all field studies, so that is employees who are full-time workers in their organizations. All of the organizations were going through major change events like restructurings, downsizings, reorganizations, all kinds of, sort of major change events.
Mm-hmm.
And the procedural justice that we were talking about, the fair treatment, was fair treatment in the context of those restructuring, reorganization type events. In the first 2 studies, what we found is that low esteem people did not show the typical positive reaction in terms of greater organizational commitment the more fairly you're treated. So you expect that people who are treated more fairly will be more committed to the organization. Low esteem people were not demonstrating that positive reaction to procedural fairness in terms of organizational commitment. In the 3rd study, we measured absenteeism and found once again that whereas for high self-esteem people, the more fairly they were treated, the less likely they were to be absent.
Mm-hmm.
For low esteem people, fair treatment did not lower their absence level. In fact, it was a non-significant reversal of the effect. In the fourth study, we figured that we would try to evaluate whether this phenomena was actually operating through a self-verification effect. And one way of getting information about that is to figure out if it was dependent on employees' expectations of how long-term the relationship with their organization should be. If they expected a long-term relationship with the organization, that's more like in a marriage. If they expected a short-term relationship with the organization, that's more like the dating relationship
right.
I told you about before.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that that interaction or that moderating relationship where high-esteem people were acting differently than low-esteem people, that was only true when they expected a long-term relationship with the organization. When people expected to have a short-term relationship with the organization, then their commitment was uniformly positively impacted by fair treatment. The more fairly they were treated, the more committed they were. But in the context of this more long-term expectations of a relationship with the organization, then the high-esteem people were more committed the more fairly they were treated, but the low-esteem people were not.
So, Batya, what is the link between being understood by the organization and organizational commitment?
Well, one of the things that we found in the fifth study was that people who felt that they were known and understood by the organization were more committed. So you do feel like if you have the opportunity to be authentic in your work environment, then you feel more committed to that organization.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so for managers, what are the practical applications that they can take back to their organizations?
Well, I think that one of the most important implications of this is that people tend to think that fair treatment is certainly going to lead to organizational commitment. And what these results suggest is that fair treatment may be a very good pathway to building organizational commitment for some of your employees, but may be less effective for other employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests that knowing and understanding your employees is one of those things that managers should be doing in order to build commitment. Now, that's a tall order for managers because increasingly as organizations become flatter, as people have to manage employees virtually, it becomes harder and harder to know and understand who are the people that you're supervising and to be able to adapt the way that you interact with them so that it suits them individually.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a call for managers to customize their behaviors to their individual employees, and that would probably be the best means of building commitment.
But surely you're not suggesting that managers treat some of their employees unfairly.
Not at all. In fact, we never found that unfair treatment would build commitment. We never found any significant reversal, meaning that the more unfairly you were treated, the higher your commitment. That never was true. And I think part of what explains the fact that we didn't find that significant reversal is that fair treatment has many implications. People value fair treatment not only because of its symbolic message that you are respected and of high status, but also for other reasons, because people value fair treatment because it indicates that they'll get their fair share of outcomes in the long run, that, you know, they'll get their fair share of pay and promotions and so on. People value fair treatment because it's the right thing to do, because it's moral. And so for those reasons, you will get benefits of fair treatment. So by no means would any of this data suggest that unfair treatment would be beneficial for any employees.
It just offers a challenge to managers to add fair treatment to getting to know their employees.
Exactly.
Okay, so what is the bottom line for managers?
I think there are two bottom lines. The first bottom line is that It depends on how long your relationship is going to be with your employees. If you expect to have a relationship with your employees for the short term, you expect them only to be around for a little while, then you always have to treat them fairly because they will always respond more positively to fair treatment. When you have longer term employees, then they will respond better to treatment that appears to reflect you viewing them the way they see themselves. The second bottom line is that for high self-esteem employees, fair treatment is critical to building their organizational commitment. For low self-esteem employees, perhaps there are other things that have to be included in a managerial toolbox to maintain and build their commitment.
We've been talking with Batya Wiesenfeld from the Stern School of Business in New York University. Thank you for joining us, Batya.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.